lessons. This sermon is actually called, the series is called A Word from Jeremiah.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Come on, pray together with me. Oh, Father, thank you for showing up in our house as we choose to worship you. Lord, I thank you for the worship time. I thank you for what you are doing and your ministry. God, I thank you that you're still alive and well. And I thank you that you're working on behalf of your people. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our word together and bless our time together as we dig into your word today. In the name of Jesus. God's people say amen. Amen. Now, I, as yet, still have not got to listen to any of Pastor Aaron's messages. I suppose in the next couple months I will be listening to all those and getting blessed. How many of you were blessed by his messages? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One thing that I have desired of the Lord, and that is what? That I might know him, right? That I might know him. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him. How might I know him? In the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, Dee said earlier, listen, you cannot go through life without having some sort of stressors, some sort of things that happen in your body or in your family or whatever the case. Is there anybody here that can go through life without any of those things? Raise your hand and let me know if there's a way to do that. It's not possible. You know why? Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer because I've overcome that. And because I've overcome that, you can overcome that. This morning, I would like us to turn to the book of Jeremiah. And the Lord has given me a word, and actually, over the couple months that we have been away, been spending the time, oftentimes, in a hotel room, as Laura and I would relax for the evening and then relax for the morning. I'm not one of those guys that says, well, let's get out of here at 6 o'clock in the morning so we can get on the road again. If checkout time is 11 o'clock, what time am I checking out? 11 o'clock. But it was great because get a chance to get into God's Word. Listen, I want to tell you something. So oftentimes, and I've said this before, we get into a hurry of being able, well, I have to do this, 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 and this today. I have this on my schedule today. I have this on my schedule today. And then we give God just maybe a little bit of time if we give him that. But one thing that I have learned is slowing down and getting into the Word and truly listening to what the heart of God is. Now, you may only get a couple of verses. And sometimes, listen, we get wrapped up into this whole business. Well, I got to read the Word in a year. And I got to read this many chapters and I got to get through this. And we bind ourselves up with that because so oftentimes we miss what the Lord might be saying to us. And we might be able to get one or two verses in and God will speak to us through that. This is why God says, be still and know that I am God. Because he can speak to you with a half of a verse. How many of you know that? He can speak to you with a whole verse or whatever the case. But I wanted to take my time and the Lord began to minister to me through a book called Jeremiah. And we're going to be spending the next few weeks in the book of Jeremiah. And would you turn with me there to Jeremiah chapter 1 as we get started into this sermon this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And by the way, how many of you saw in your bulletins that I believe that this is Sanctity of Life Sunday or one of the two, and there is a place to sign your name out there and or support the work of life? How many of you know that God knows us before we're born? How many of you know that God knows us in the belly? He knows us. And God says, before I even formed you in the belly, I knew you. And some people will say, well, how was that possible? I wasn't even around. How could God know me? Because God is a God that knows all things. He knew you before you were born, Tucker. Before you even ran the halls of the other side of the church, He knew you. Before your mom and dad ever met, He knew you. And He said, I have a plan for you. And then He looked right next to you and He said, Dante, I knew you before you were born. And I have a plan for you. And I could go on down the line to each one of us. And God says, I know you, Todd. Man, I could stop right there. But I'm going to continue on. He said, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I called you apart and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send you to, and whatever I command you, you will speak to them. And don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand, and He touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord that came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, an almond tree. I want us to know something this morning. Jeremiah was called of God. How many of you believe that? And he was called of God to bring a message to a world around him that was not serving God. So who is this Jeremiah? Called of God. God said, I'll put your word, my word, in your mouth. You know what Jeremiah was born into? He was born into a nation that had walked away from God. How many of us are in a nation that seems to have walked away from God? Seems to have walked away from serving the God that we once knew. Jeremiah was born into that. And he was told that he was to go and to bring a word. Did you hear what that said? To root out, to pull down, to build up and to plant. Sounds like a lot of jobs, doesn't it? But God said, this is what I have sent you to. He was a prophet in Jerusalem at the time that God said, I am going to besiege Jerusalem. And he used a king. Anybody know his name? King Nebuchadnezzar. I like to call him King Nebi. So King Nebi was coming. And do you know that God says throughout this book of Jeremiah, the King Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. In other words, God used Nebuchadnezzar to bring about a punishment upon a land that had refused to serve God. And God called him his servant. Very interesting as we go through. But you see, God's words were rejected. People rejected what Jeremiah had to say. How many of you think that when God tells you to do something, that everything's going to be great? Somehow we're mistakenly misled by that. Because we think that when we hear from God, and we know we have, that everything's just going to work out peachy keen. But more often than not, there are problems from the time that God tells you to do something and you start to do it. And you're thinking, God, what is going on here? I understand this because early in the ministry, when God called me to ministry, He sent me to Oregon. Now, how many of you know Oregon's a real liberal state? And they do a lot of things that are ungodly. Now, there are some godly people there, but God sent me there. And I thought when God spoke to me to go there from California, things were going to be wonderful. And I learned very quickly that things were not wonderful. And that I wasn't seeing what was in my mind. Remember, the plans that God has are not your thinking, and His thinking is not your thinking. So God oftentimes will call us to go and to do something, and we have to, by faith, go do it. And so many times, the devil stops us because we run into a problem. And say, well, this must not have been the will of God. I must have missed it. No, you didn't miss it. You didn't miss it. When God calls you to preach, God called Pastor Aaron to preach. Was everything peachy keen the first time you preached, brother? When God calls you, you act by faith. God called Jeremiah. You know what happened to Jeremiah? Jeremiah was mistreated. He was abused. He was laughed at. He was called names. And yet God said, go bring a word that I have called you to bring. I want you to pay particular attention to this particular phrase here. The Lord said, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. I remember the very first time when I got out of Bible school and the very first time that I went to preach. And I was preaching the Word of God, and this is what I saw out in the congregation. And every time I said something, this one particular guy would go. When you have that going on in a congregation, how does it make you feel?
Can forget what you're saying.
Kind of make you feel like, well, you know, am I missing something here? But oftentimes the faces of the people that are in churches is awful. It's terrible. So watch your faces when I'm preaching, okay? Right, Pastor Aaron? Yes. Jeremiah experienced all kinds of issues. But I want to look at the message, really, that he had towards these Israelites. And we can go even a step further to say that it is for the church today. So maybe be jumping through. We're not going to go verse by verse on this, but I'm going to cover some things over the next couple weeks and talk about some lessons. This sermon is actually called, the series is called A Word from Jeremiah. I believe that the word that Jeremiah is going to bring to us in the next few weeks should change us. Should change us more into who God wants us to be. Because here is a man, they call him the weeping prophet. Have you ever heard that? You know why he was weeping? Number one, because of their faces. Number two, because they wouldn't listen to what he had to say. He was bringing a word from God, and they would get in his face and say, you liar, get out of here. We don't want to hear you. They put him in prison. How many of us would say, wow, I want to sign up for that one? His message, really. Jeremiah chapter 7, if you jump over there with me now. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting in verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways. This is what he is telling the people. Change your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after the gods of your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? I want you to understand what's happening right here. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to these Israelites that are supposed to be godly people. I believe God is speaking to the church today, to the church in these words, and God is saying, will you continue to lie? Will you continue to steal? Will you continue to do these things? You know, because when we look at this verse, we say, oh, well, he's talking to sinners. He's talking to the church, folks. You know what kind of abominations we got going on in churches now? And God says, this should never be in my house. Jeremiah was speaking to them. And then they have the nerve to say, we can do this. We are delivered to do all these abominations. Do you know one of the biggest things right now in the church that is going on is something called the word of grace? And the word of grace is saying, you can do whatever you want to because we are delivered by grace. We'll just keep doing it because we're delivered by grace. Friends, I want you to know that is not the word of God, and that is not why grace was sent. So that you can continue, as these folks said, we're delivered to do all these abominations. We can do it. Now, this is not a popular thing right now within the church to stand up and say, no, you cannot. Because God is calling for a people to be sanctified and set aside for His use. How is God going to use you if you are doing the exact same things as the world is doing? The world right now, listen, is looking for people that will be different. That will stand out. Wow. Jeremiah continues on. Verse 13, and now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early in the morning, but you did not hear. I called you, but you didn't answer. Therefore, will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave you, and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, now listen, he's talking to Jeremiah right now. Therefore, do not pray for this people, neither lift up a cry of prayer for them, neither make intercession for me, for I will not hear you. I don't know about you, but when I hear that what God is saying to Jeremiah, don't even pray for them. Don't intercede for them, because these are a wicked people that has a heart that is set against me. Why? Why would God say, don't pray? You ever think about that? Because God said time and time again, I have come to you. I have given you my word. I have told you, stop doing this and turn around, but you refuse to listen. Now I want to thank God today because of grace. that God is not telling any of us not to pray for those that are unsaved in this world that we live in today. I want you to understand the difference was Jesus. Jesus came to the world, and because of that, grace is here. And we still pray for those that need to get saved. But I also need you to understand that this was the world that Jeremiah was in. And listen, my friends, we are there today. Are we not? We're there today. This was a stiff-necked people. Jeremiah's summary. I'm going to summarize a couple things here. Turn over to chapter 9 right now. For the sake of time, I want to show you the summary. This was Jeremiah's message and what God's message was to the people. Chapter 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. This was the whole message of what God was trying to say then, and is he trying to say it today, Tucker? He's trying to say the exact same thing today. What do I delight in? Not your own wisdom, not your own might, not what you think you can do, but in who I am. I delight in those that will worship me and live righteously. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but I can tell you that his heart is growing weary of the way that those who call themselves Christians act. Did I say it was going to be a feel-good message today? When we're dealing with Jeremiah, it is not going to be. Jeremiah chapter 17. These are words from Jeremiah to us. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord. I want us to pay particular attention to this. Cursed be the man that trusts in man. Now, if that was the only thing that we preached today, I want you to get a hold of that. If you are trusting in yourself or in someone else to make things okay for your life, you're cursed. How often have we heard this? If you want something done right, do it yourself. I have to do it myself because no one else can do it right. Anybody guilty of that one? Oh, one hand. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I used to say that a lot. And then I heard this verse. The Lord spoke to me. You're trusting in yourself, aren't you? Well, guess what? Cursed be the man that trust in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Now, I never really knew what that meant in a parched land until we went to Montana. And Laura and I, we drove 150 miles without seeing anything except brown, parched land, desert. And in most of the time, out west, it was 105 degrees. And I can imagine here, this is what God is saying to the man that trusts in himself. That's what it is. It's parched land. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope in the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding her fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here's my plug for Hallmark. 90% of the Hallmark movies, when you get to that part, she's mad at him, he's mad at her, and then someone says, just trust your heart. And I'm thinking, not! The heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? I feel like writing to the script writers, who might be on strike, I don't know, and saying, let's replace that. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And He will direct your paths. Amen? Hallelujah. God gives vivid examples of who He is and who we are as individuals through Jeremiah. Vivid examples. And in chapter 18, we're going to get an example of who God is and who we are. Now, and God just intricately worked this all out. In the midst of driving hundreds of miles of nothing in Montana, we come to a little town. Little town. Like two streets. Out in the middle of nowhere. And lo and behold, there's a sign that says, Big Sky Pottery. Now I'm thinking to myself, I hope Laura didn't see that. But Laura saw it. And she said, turn around, I want to go to the pottery place. So I started checking my wallet, you know, make sure. But we got in there, and listen, God ordains our steps. Every step that we make, God ordains our step as a believer. So this guy comes out, and he's got this white beard, and he's real scraggly looking and everything. And Laura says, is this the pottery place? He says, yeah, come on in. Well, as it ends up, we come in, she starts to look around. I see a banjo sitting there. And I say to the guy, hey, do you play that banjo? And he goes, yeah. He says, do you play? I said, no. I said, but I play guitar. It's too bad you don't have one. He says, oh, I got several of them in the back. And he went and got it. And him and I sat there, and he played the banjo, I played the guitar, and we sang Amazing Grace, all five stanzas or whatever it was, right? And Laura was shopping while we were doing this. And it was really just an awesome time, and this guy is a believer in Christ, and he's a wonderful potter. And come to find out, after Laura picked up hundreds of dollars of stuff, no, she didn't pick up that many, but come to find out that this particular individual is a very well-known potter, and he makes pottery for all television programs. And if you've ever watched any of the episodes of The Chosen, he has made all the pottery for what's on The Chosen. And very great time, but he sat down. We were there, I don't know, what, an hour and a half or so? And so, but he sat down. He said, I've got to show you something here. And he took a lump of just clay, big hunk of it, and he starts beating it on the table. And it's like, what's he doing? Then he takes it over. And he puts it on the wheel. And here's what he begins to quote by memory. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So it was interesting, as he was quoting this, that was turning and he was creating the bowl. And then he said, oh, there's a piece in here that's no good. And he ripped it off and threw the piece out and began to reform the bowl all over again. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. At whatever instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plan it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherein I said I would benefit them. And he got done with quoting all of those verses. And there he had a beautiful pot that was, no instruments, nothing. And this thing was as round could be. You see what a master potter can do. This is what God does with us. And when there is a mar in the clay, what does God do? Sometimes it doesn't feel good when God rips something out of you. But God never intended it to feel good. God intended it so that you would be a wonderful vessel in His hand. And God is calling us to submit to His working on us. Can the clay say to the potter, no, I don't want you to do that to me? He said, I am the potter and you are the clay. What a wonderful message. And the Lord at that point began to minister to me. And I knew already what was going to be brought when I got back. And the Lord said, I am the potter. You are the clay. And though we have things happening in our lives, do we turn around to God and say, why are you doing this to me? If we're honest, a lot of us have done that. Why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me, God? I know things could be totally different. Why did I have to have this surgery? Why did I have to go through this? Because He is the potter and you are the clay. Do we understand that? These are the words that Jeremiah was bringing to the house of Israel, who was supposed to be his people, but yet they were so stiff-necked that they refused to listen and say, I will continue to do what I'm doing. Will you and I continue to do what we're doing because we think we're in charge? Will we say to the master potter, stop doing that. I don't like the way you're forming me. You're a foolish person if you do that. Because then God cannot have His way in our lives. Laura did walk away with several pieces of pottery. And they were beautiful. But they remind us now, as she puts them in the house, that He is the potter. And to watch that happening was incredible. And it brought a new meaning of what God was saying here. Listen. Jeremiah was given a message to share, knowing that they would not listen. Think about that. Now, I'm blessed. Pastor Aaron's blessed. Kathy's blessed. When we get up here and we speak, you guys are listening. And you're paying attention. But Jeremiah was told, you're going to preach your whole life, and they're not going to listen to a word you say. How does that feel? If I had left 2 months ago and said, Pastor Aaron, I want you to take over. I want to preach everything that's in your heart. Preach, bring. But by the way, they're not going to listen to anything you have to say. How does that make you feel? Do you feel like, let's go? But he still had to bring the word that God had given to him to bring. Turn back there again to chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Look at this. Verse 17 of chapter 1. Thou therefore gird up your loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command you. Don't be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. Now I want you to pay particular attention to that verse. He told Jeremiah, do not be worried about their faces. Do not be worried, because if you are, I will confound you. Now, when I first read that, I was like, whoa, God, seriously? You can tell that to your prophet? And God said, yes. In other words, when God has given us something to do, we must do it with all of our might. We must do it with all faith, believing that God has a purpose for it. Doesn't matter whether they listen or not. You understand? Doesn't matter. If you preach, how many weeks did you preach? 9 weeks. Did anybody get anything out of what he preached? Praise God, your name's not Jeremiah. Right? But it wasn't so with Jeremiah. At any point in your ministry, Jeremiah, they're not going to listen. But then God said, I want you to be like flint. I want you to hear my word, do my word. And this is what God is telling us today. Don't worry about what the response will be. You do what God's asked you to do. You know how many times people in ministry that are listening to the voice of God and they're not seeing growth happening, and they're not seeing. So oftentimes in so many churches, listen, one of the first things that I hear when I get it in another pastor's presence, oh, how big is your church? It doesn't matter how big your church is. It matters what's happening in the people of God, and are they sharing their faith? Are they being a testimony of what God has called them to be? So many times pastors will get to the point where they are discouraged. But God says, do not be discouraged. Focus in on what I've asked you to do and bring it. Bring it. And God said this, behold, I have made you this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against you. Isn't that a good word from the Lord? They're going to fight against you, Tucker, every turn, everything you do. They're going to fight against you. Makes you feel good, right? But they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. So here's the word that God's had for us today. God's given us all a ministry. God has given us all a purpose. Remember, He knew us in the womb. He formed us in the womb. He has a thing for us to do in this life. Be strong. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord your God is with you. You think these songs are by accident? We didn't plan that, did we, Dee? God has a plan. Now, listen. And besides that, God had all these wonderful words for Jeremiah. You know, they're going to hate you. They're going to fight against you. They're going to do all kinds. They're not going to listen to anything you have to say, but preach my word. Okay? Oh, by the way, Jeremiah, you're also not going to be allowed to get married. Okay, God, then I'm going to do what you ask me to do. By the way, that's found over in Jeremiah chapter 16, 1 and 2. I want to continue on. Let's bring this one to focus for us today. Just like God called Jeremiah to bring the word, God's called us to bring the word. Matthew chapter 28, you remember that? After Jesus ascends, I mean, he's getting ready to ascend. He's resurrected. And this is what he says. Go you therefore into what? All the world. And do what? Preach the gospel. I love this. Preach the gospel. Baptizing them, right? In the name of the Lord. Teaching them to observe all the commandments, whatever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Who is that commandment for? I'm hearing apostles, believers. Somebody's probably thinking that's the pastor's job. It's all of our jobs as believers. You say, but my name's not Jeremiah. You ought to praise God for that. But the call is still the same. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach them to observe everything that I commanded you. Is there any believer in here that is exempt from that? No. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called to do that. Hands down, no questions asked, that's my job. And please don't give me all that about, well, I can't speak. You know, I don't have that, what Pastor Aaron can do. And, you know, I can't do that. No, you're right, you can't. But you can do what you do. And you're called to bring the word, to bring the gospel, to tell others about what Jesus has done for you and what he wants to do for them. There is no excuse. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall become what? Witnesses for me. You know what a witness does? He testifies of what he has seen and heard that's happened in his life. How many of you have ever been a witness? Let me ask you, how many of you have ever been a witness? I'm going to ask it one more time. How many of you have ever been a witness? You better raise your hand because you witnessed your sister doing something, okay? Now, you're all thinking in a court of law, right? That's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about how many of you have been a witness to something? All of us have. If you've been alive, you've been breathing, you've seen something happen. And it's our job to testify of what God has done for us. It really is. Listen, and by the way, Wanda is probably thinking, he read my bulletin board, and that's why he's bringing this message. Have you stopped to look at the bulletin board out there? Before you leave this house, go look at that bulletin board, because it is amazing of what God has called us to do. And it goes immediately along with what God is bringing here to us this morning. But we have excuses. This is my favorite part of the sermon. You ready? Here's our excuses. Well, they'll make fun of me if I talk about Jesus and talk about what the Lord wants. Is your name Jeremiah? He had to deal with some stuff. Don't worry about that. Here's another one. Well, I'll be an outcast. People won't look at me the same if I talk about Jesus. Well, they're going to call me names. You little Bible thumper. You little Jesus freak. You little holy roller. You're weird. You really believe that stuff, Charlotte? Jane, are you kidding me? You believe in Jesus in today's world? Got to be kidding me. None of this or anything that could be said to you could be worse than what Jeremiah went through. But he had a command from God to bring it. Bring it. And our command is go into all the world and bring it. The time is really over for us to be having all these excuses. And here's the last one. Well, I might be hurt. I might be physically hurt. Yes, you may. And yes, you will have all of those things that will happen. But that, does that get rid of the command that God said? No, it doesn't. He said, go into all the world. All the above, probably yes, they'll happen. But God still expects us to bring it. Now sometimes, especially in the sports world, we get this attitude like, they still call it talking smack with the other team. Yeah. The other team comes out and they're like, and they're saying all kinds of stuff to you. And then here's what happens. Stand up here, Tucker. See what you can do. You're going down.
For sure.
For sure, yes. Now, you're supposed to say, no, you're going down.
You're going down. You.
I lost what I was going to say now, okay? Oh, here it is. Ready? Ready? Bring it on.
I'm here.
You're... I believe you. Sit down. That just brought back a really bad memory for me. I was just moved to Virginia, and I was in ninth grade, I think it was, and I had played football, believe it or not. I did play football when I was younger. But that was up in Pennsylvania when I got down to Virginia. And on my same team, there was a big, big dude on the other side of me. When I got down on the snap, and he looked at me and he said, I'm going to kill you. And I thought about that when Tucker said, you're going down. You know what? I believed him. So on the snap, I stepped out of the way and let him go. Now you have a different opinion on me, right, Dante? We are called to keep the command of the Lord. Forget about all the excuses. They're going to happen to you. So forget about it. It's going to happen. Your job is to bring the Word. No matter what. Bring the Word. Stand for the things of God. And watch what God will do, because He said to Jeremiah, I'm going to be your defense. I'm going to watch. I'm going to make sure you're okay. Because why would God send us if He wasn't going to be with us to carry on the message? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. A word from Jeremiah today, and there's a few more coming in the next couple of weeks. Hallelujah. 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 Man, I'm excited. You excited? How many of you feel like you've been to church today? Now that I ask you that, how many of you will commit right now by a show of hands to say, I will bring what God gives me to bring to others? Because He's going to be with you. Don't worry about what they say, because that doesn't matter. He'll be with you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for the Word today. Thank You for Your presence in the house. And we glorify You, we praise You, and we thank You for what You are doing in our lives. Lord, today is the day You have given to us, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in that. So we go out from the house today. Lord, I pray right now, You give us plenty of opportunities. When the opportunity comes, that we take it and we minister for You. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.